You need to understand what I'm trying to teach you, really. Oh, let them go. They're not going to hear you.
I accuse him of teaching a doctrine that married with the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and if they did, all of God was dead, because he believes we're buried with the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Baptism is a burial. Say, Brother Reynolds, baptism is a burial. Where Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, all three persons buried. You fellas should have yourself in a doctrine on that, son. If Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, all three persons were buried, you need to have Jesus being all three of them in the flesh, and all three of them were dead. And so you're buried with the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now why did Jesus say be baptized in the name? Matthew 28:19. Name. Not names. Name. Name of the Father. Ladies and gentlemen, didn't I point out John 5:43? How that the Father, Jesus said, I am come in my Father's name? How many of you know what my Father's last name is? Of course you do, that's because I have that name. And Jesus said, Father, I'll manifest that name to thy disciples. This is John 17. That name, he manifested the disciples with Jesus. And he came in his Father's name. And so the name of the Father is Jesus. The name of the Son is Jesus. Luke, the first chapter. And the name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus. I brought out in John 14:26, how that the Comforter whom the Father will send in my name. I tell you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is in the one name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I brought out, ladies and gentlemen, I made a preposterous, incredible statement if I couldn't back it up by the Bible. And you fellas can study your Greek, you can look through your papers, you can whisper to each other, you can look down your face for that sad confidence, you can act like Hicks is making a mess up here, but you still have to account for the fact that everywhere baptism is mentioned in the New Testament at the Pentecost, it was in the name of Jesus. Peter obey what Jesus said in Matthew 28:19, or did he repeat it? I can't even get him to come to the debate. I don't know where he is. He's not around here. Oh, Brother Reynolds, where are you? Come to the debate. Answer these issues. I'm in the affirmative tonight. You're supposed to answer what I'm saying tonight. All right, you believe in being buried with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We believe in being buried with him, Romans 6:4, baptized into Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you again, don't let him pile up a simple believism on you and call it saving faith. And Brother Reynolds has written a statement, and I dare him to deny it, that in order to go to heaven, a man must believe on the Lord, he must believe in the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, and he must obey the commandments of the Lord. You see, he says I'm being doctrinally dishonest. And I stood up here with all the candor and the little bit of ability God gave me, and I asked him to talk about Acts 10:48, where baptism was a commandment. See, watch the crowd, how it goes. Isn't it fantastic how they know that they're going against you, Brother Reynolds, because you didn't deal with it. You denied the necessity of water baptism. I proved it was a command in Acts 10:48, and you ignored it. Shame on you for ignoring the commandment. You're not even qualified to open that Bible. Ignore a command. I command you to be baptized in Jesus' name. I command all you Church of God people to be baptized in Jesus' name tonight. I command you to do it. I'm not begging you to do it. In the name of the Lord God of heaven, in Jesus' name, I command you to be baptized. And you may hate me, but you will be this in the judgment. You have to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to talk about your last speech. Is it a commandment or not? Can a commandment be optional? I wonder what you Church of God folks are doing about this. There's nothing amazing about this. You folks still hang on his coattail, though he can't even answer these questions. Why don't you come out from among that kind of preaching and get into the truth? You walk out here every night like you won the debate. I've never seen a man more clobbered in all of my life, not by hits, but by the truth. And he walks out here like he won the debate, and he couldn't even answer who the Father Jesus was, and he won't even deal with the name of the Son. I've begged him! Haven't I? To tell us what the name of the Son is? Oh,
he won't say.
He knows he better not say.
He's getting himself in a hole.
Come on.
All right. Amen. All right. Be baptized. Call him in the name of the Lord. The Greek of Acts 22:16 says, having that name called, that's his water baptism. The only difference is Paul's baptism in Acts 19 and the baptism of John. How many remember this? You're smart, brother. He didn't remember. His forgiveness is working. His forgiveness is really working. He forgot to deal with this, didn't he? Acts 19. The only difference in the two baptisms was what the preacher said. All right? Didn't I bring out the authority and power? Didn't I beg him to deal with it? What did he do? Got up here and ran around about what he mess he made last night on a coffee. Well, they will come back and talk about it. All right. Then I brought out the name of John Doe. Not John Doe, but son. This is the man I'm facing. Separated brethren. Rome said, I call the Catholic priest. I said, if I were being baptized in the words Father, Son, Holy Ghost, would you accept me in the Catholic Church without being baptized? He said, absolutely. I said, if I'd come to be a Catholic and I've been baptized with the preacher saying in Jesus' name, would you acknowledge that baptism? He said, unconditionally, no. We'd have to re-baptize you over again in the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, because that's our baptism. E.J. Reynolds has Catholic baptism. The Catholic priest rejects mine and okays his. You folks, if any time you don't want to be a member of the Church of God, you go to the Catholic Church and they won't baptize you over again. Because they are recognized as brethren, separated brethren, all who have friendly baptism. I'm glad we're out from among them. And yeah. Holy Trinity, Holy Ghost, Trinity says, the name of the Father is not Jesus, but Father. The name of the Son is not Jesus, but Son. The name of the Holy Ghost is not Jesus, but Holy Ghost. This is Mr. Reynolds, Brother Reynolds talking. The Holy Ghost says, the name of the Father is Jesus, John 5:43. The name of the Son is Jesus, Matthew 1:21. The name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus, John 14:26. The name that's above every name, Philippians 2:9. Did I break it out? Did he touch it? No, couldn't. Won't. Not Jesus is Jesus. Wait, I'm glad ours is Jesus. All right, proper baptism in three names or three persons. That's what they say. That's Catholic doctrine. Jesus said, baptize in the name. Peter said in Acts 2:30, in the name. Catholic priests reject our baptism. We thank God for that. All right, the Church of God says in the three names, God says neither is there salvation in any other. Acts 4:12, I beg him to deal with it. He says, I don't bring out Scripture. That's all I have going out. Scripture, and he can't deal with Scripture. He's not even a debater. He can't even follow. He can't even bring out the points of about what I'm talking about. I beg him to talk about Acts 4:12, how that the name of Jesus is the name that is above every name, and be baptized in the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. He's baptizing in an inferior name, because the Bible says in Acts 4:12 that the name of Jesus is the only name given unto men, heaven on men, whereby we must be saved. And Philippians 2:9 says, he has a name that is above every name. All right, let's go a little further. Declaring inconsistency. Take three separate persons composed of one Godhead, a wandering spirit, neither of which your persons cannot compose of one baptism. Ephesians 4:5 and John 3:5. I brought out there's only one birth consisting of water and spirit, one baptism consisting of water and spirit. The analogy of John 3:5 and Ephesians 4:5 substantiates our position tonight. He went off on the tangent about the Holy Ghost. He doesn't realize the Holy Ghost too is a commandment just like water baptism is. Jesus commanded his disciples to tarry until they received the Holy Ghost. He commanded them. How do you understand?
If the totality of all there was in God was in the Lord Jesus Christ, I think it might be fitting for you to understand that Jesus
Christ and the Father is not the Holy Ghost. John 2:28, Acts 2:4, Luke 1:35, John 14:23, 1 Corinthians 3:16 says the Father is the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in Romans 8, 9, and 10 that Jesus is the Holy Ghost. Acts 2:24, whom God raised up. John 2:19, I will raise it up. John 14:17 speaks of the comforter. God says 1:27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. For the Father is Jesus. Isaiah 9:6 said, the Son is the everlasting Father. Yes. John 12:14 says, the Father is in Jesus. John 14:9 teaches the Father is in Jesus. So, Jesus is the Father, the Father is the Holy Ghost, and they're all in one person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Oh, that's enough. He won't do anything else.
Let's close here now with a few remarks.
All right. In this debate, I've established by the truth of the Bible that the following affirmations are real. That it is scriptural to call the name of Jesus at water baptism without all reference to the improper nouns of Father and Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, I deny that Father and Spirit are proper nouns.
He can't do it. He's a greater authority than all the lexicographers and people of grammar study who know the words and know how to talk and speak. But this man puts himself up above them. All right, too. That it is necessary to speak the name Jesus for healing, Acts 3:1-3. How much more necessary it is to speak the name for remission of sin, which comes not by mere authority, but by power. I hope he deals with that. Over 50 times in the New Testament, the power of the name Jesus was obtained by speaking the name. I prove to you that the name of Jesus is necessary. I put out the scriptures, I put the chart, I waited for him to answer here. I got to sell him $1,000 check for $100 for $50, came down to $40. He owed me 25 cents because I had my titles and not my name. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something in concluding my last speech tonight. We're not representing.
It says three separate and distinct. And ladies and gentlemen, here is where we draw swords, and thus we're having a debate here tonight. I ask you.
Long ago, and if these people get baptized in Jesus' name for remission of sin, you'd see a difference in their ways, in their styles, in their standards. Mark it well. The true Jesus people are not the masses of the professed Christians. They're not the many skirted pants suited and decently dressed moving on. How do you really think of our day? True people are not the long-haired hippies, unfaith, pot-smoking, pill-popping rock and rollers of the day. These effeminate, hand-dangling, so-called men and boys have no place in the kingdom of God until they're born again of the water and the Spirit. If these people are truly born again, that is, when they repent of sin, get baptized in Jesus' name, they will be changed, and simply they will not hold on to the styles and fashions of the world. They'll not sit before 30 television sets and watch those filthy movies. They'll not do the things of the world, but they'll come out from among them and be a sign that people say the Lord, because there's a purity in the revelation of one God that preserves the true church today. So I ask you, be not deceived by the glittering cross and expensive steeple. Every cathedral is not the true church. Turn to the right church before you kill up, because death forever fixes the destiny of a man. It's staggered, vibrating in the human heart, says now is the day of salvation. The Bible says, let him that is filthy be filthy still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still.
That Christ in you, the hope of glory, is the baptism with the Holy Ghost. That is not the truth. Colossians 1:27. My opponent said that 58 Smith is not a name. 58 Smith's phone number is 912-422-3892 in Pearson, Georgia. That is a proper name. That is the proper name. Yes. And by the way, I challenge Mr. Hicks to come to Alabama for a public discussion on these same propositions. We'll arrange the time and place. We'll arrange the time and place just as soon as we can.
He says he accepts the challenge if he can get somebody to debate him.
That means he's afraid to debate me again. Now then, my friend, I want you to give me a verse of Scripture where any preacher after the day of Pentecost debated, where any preacher or after the day of Pentecost baptized in water in his name alone. That was the proposition my opponent signed with me. That in order to be saved, you had to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now then, that was not what the opponent proved. He didn't show one verse of Scripture. My question mark is still up there. He hadn't shown one verse of Scripture where one candidate was in one place of water and received their salvation as a result of that. Now, next of all, give me the names of the Church of God preachers who told you that I was a terrible debater. We believe, my dear friend, also that Jesus Christ is omnipresent by the very fact of his omniscience. I have already told you, my friend, who the Father of Jesus Christ was. I told you that plainly, and I told you that clearly. I want to also note to you that it is possible to be a father and not be your own father. That it is possible to be a son and not be your own son. It is possible to be a father and not be your own father. possible to be a son and not be your own son? The teaching of Gnosticism would be what compares with the Sabellian doctrine that my brother has preached as concerned the persons in the Godhead. He said, that which was conceived in Mary was the third first person of the blessed Holy Trinity. I really think that was an accident, that he didn't really mean that. I think that was a slip of the tongue. John baptized, the Bible tells us, John the Baptist makes the statement, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Peter says in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The word unto signifies result. For instance, Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. The word for in our second meaning, as the, in our second text, has the same meaning as it does in the first. Result of or because of. The Greek dictionaries and lexicons have this word going forward and backwards. By the Koine period of Greek, which my brother used here tonight, the prepositions were so versatile until Gerhard Kettle, one of the most renowned the theologians, said that it was not exegetically correct to build a theology upon those type of prepositions. Now then, are we to understand that water baptism, he said, I wouldn't touch this, but I'm not only touching it, I'm going on the top side, bottom side, inside, outside, every side that's got to it. The word for in our second text has the same meaning as result. Now, are we to understand that Peter administered water baptism to effect the salvation of those people who had come that day? I want to read you from the Bible. Take your Bibles, turn them with me to Acts chapter 10, verse 32. May I call time, Mr. Moderator? I hear a lot of talking over the congregation, Mr. Moderator. I'm trying to preach. Thank you, my dear brother. Now let us read chapter 10 of Acts and begin at verse 32. Here is the message I want you to understand. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded from God. And not one time in that context down through verse 42 did he command the people to be baptized in water. In verse 42, he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of Jesus or of God. Of God to be the judge of the quick and dead, or judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him should have remission of sin. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Then when the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, the reason they knew that, they spoke with tongues, and then Peter commanded them to be baptized by the authority of the Lord. Would you turn on the chart now, my brother? Now I want you to notice, before I get into the chart, make a note with you, that over in the 10th chapter, 11th chapter of the book of Acts, and in the context of verse 14 down through about 17 or 18, Peter said, I'd hardly begin to preach unto them when the Holy Ghost fell on them, as it did on us in the beginning, after they had finished from us. Then he said, seeing therefore that God giveth, then remember thou the word of John, or of Jesus, how he said, John said, ye should be baptized with water. Seeing therefore that God giveth them the light gift as he did unto us, what was I that I could withstand God? So the Jews accepted the fact that those believing Gentiles were saved before they were baptized in water. In Acts chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, and God which knoweth the heart,
there in the wilderness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, purifying our hearts by faith. I want to ask you, my brother Hicks says he believes I have the Holy Ghost. Thank you, brother Hicks. I believe you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I really believe that. I have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I believe you're wrong, of course, about all these preachers. I think you've been misinformed, and you wouldn't answer the question on Dr. Battle's being here, and take me and show me where I made mistakes on what the Church of God teaches. Here's what the Church of God teaches. Here's an alien sinner. He's lost without God. He's on his way to hell, and he wants to be saved. He knows that unless he gets saved, he's going to go to an everlasting hell. He's going to go to a hell of fire and brimstone. Unless he accepts the virgin-born Son of God, the first person of the Godhead, who was conceived by the second person of the Godhead in the womb of Mary, unless he accepts that person who was conceived by the third person of the Godhead, he knows he's going to die and go to hell. The Holy Ghost came upon Mary, and the power of the highest overshadowed her, and the holy flame which was born of her was called the Son of God. Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, and he went to Calvary, and he died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. Now this alien sinner understood that, and he wanted to be saved. So he starts up the road to get saved, and he hears from Galatians 1 and 4. He hears of grace and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might redeem us from this present evil world. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ has also once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. He's an alien from the commonwealth of Israel, and a stranger from the covenant of promise. But in Christ Jesus, the Bible said, are those who were afar off made nigh by the blood of Christ. Did you know what the Bible said there? In 1 Corinthians chapter 17, chapter 1, and verse 17 and 18, for Christ hath not sent me to baptize. That's what the Apostle Paul said. But to preach. That's what the Bible said. He said to preach Christ. He said he thanked God he hadn't baptized any of those people in the Church of God at Corinth. How do you like the name Church of God for the name of the church? The name that was purchased, the church that was purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ, over which the Holy Ghost hath made us overseer. I like the name Church of God. The name United Pentecostal is not in the Bible. But the name Church of God is in there, or Churches of God. Church or churches, about 11 or 12 times. Well, I want you to know that Paul at Corinthian church, that he hadn't baptized any of their members, except Crispus and Gaius. He had baptized also the household of Stephanus. He worried lest they think he baptized in his own name. He said the preaching of the cross. Oh, we love that blessed message of the cross. He said the preaching of the cross is the thing that perish foolishness. But that we which are saved, it is the power of God. I'll tell you, my friend, that you can preach the gospel in the name of Jesus. That is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. But the name of Jesus. We come by that blessed name of Jesus, the blessed Son of God, the virgin born Savior, who is Christ the Lord, who dwells in our heart by his blessed Spirit right now. But Father, he waits for us in heaven. The Bible said he did. Not each of those. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Try it out, your Bible. See if it's there. Now then, here at the cross of Calvary, alien sinner has arrived. He knows he can be saved by grace through faith. He knows that he can do that. It's not some circumcision made with hands. He knows that he can be saved and washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in heaven, the redeemed are going to say, we'll get to that later. But he knows this now. Now here's the thing I want you to get. There is only one place. Only one place. Now you hear me real good. In the New Testament, from the day of Pentecost until now, that the question was explicitly asked, what must I do? What must we do to save? And my friends, you take your Bibles and you take a look. Acts 2:37 didn't say, what must we do to be saved? It's what must we do. But Acts 16:30 and 31 told them what to do. What must we do to be saved? Isn't it strange to you that the Holy Ghost said,
me through.
That's the way it's supposed to be done. God never did authorize a change. He did authorize one when the civilians started. He did authorize one when the modalists started. He did authorize it when the civilians rebelled from the church, the apostolic church. And in one of the oldest writings in the world, the Bitter Cave, that is in that book, that's the oldest Christian writing beside the Bible that exists. In 92 to 102 A.D., that book was written, and it's the oldest piece of Christian literature that we have beside the Bible, and it said they baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. I want to pause right there just long enough to say, any one of those folders up here, that they went to the cross before they went to the Lord. In 1 Peter 3:21, they went to the cross and got the blood applied before they ever went to the water to get the moral depravity washed out of them. I've proven to you tonight that you get saved. Cadiz's house did. I asked one fellow the other day if he got, those fellows had the Holy Ghost if they were saved, and he said about half saved. They didn't have the baptism in water yet, so they were half saved. Now my opponent said tonight, that you had to have the Holy Ghost to speak in tongues in order to be saved. But his proposition says that he must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ in water. Which is it? Now then, facts about the Bible. The Old Testament was completed about 290 B.C. In 367, Athanasius prepared a list of 27 books which have been accepted by our Bible, as our Bible. The Council of Hippo in 393. The Council of Carthage in 397. And then Jerome wrote the Latin Vulgate in 387 A.D. And Bede wrote during the 8th century, died in 735 A.D. These men were members of what you call the Catholic Church. Does that make the Bible a Catholic Bible because Catholic men preserved the Scriptures and met in these councils at Carthage and Hippo and canonized the Scripture? Do you know who said the book of Matthew belongs within the context of the Bible? The Council of Carthage at Hippo. Catholic priest, according to your bishop. That's who did it. God didn't come down and say, take Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The bishops in these councils.
Well, I want to order. You're not supposed to bring out any material on this land. You're supposed to follow this man,
the Father,
is the
man.
Back.
Brother Powders, may I answer your point of order? Are we not debating on baptism in the name of Jesus Christ? And am I not authorized to say and state, he contended for the oneness doctrine, I'm contending for the Trinity. Baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
You never followed one of his points, and you took the first whole time on the Godhead, and you waited until he could not come back before you even presented your point.
Brother Patterson, very humbly, in the name of Jesus, may I ask you another question? Did the brother follow one of my points, one of my charts last night? Did he not say it was his? He said he had not followed my charts and it was his prerogative. He didn't have to follow my visual aids, that it was his prerogative. I'm debating the Trinity and Trinity baptism. I'm debating baptism in Jesus' name. I say that's not so. No, that's not a new chart. I introduced it, I didn't know what you were going to put the water on. I introduced that chart. It was up on the board, pinned up there before I ever sat down a while ago. Yes, the same chart. Put the chart up here, brother. I'm down with the doctrines exactly as I'm supposed to. Alright, now then. The Council of Hippo, the Council of Carthage, did not. The Council of Carthage and the Council of Hippo did not belong to any group besides bishops of the Roman Church. These men canonized the Scripture, and it's from that Scripture that we preach. Alright? Henry VIII broke with Rome in the 14th century,
And they didn't have a complete Bible until the 14th century, because the Catholic Church, or the church that you call the Catholic Church, didn't allow it. Henry broke in the 8th century. John Wycliffe in 1382, William Tyndale in 1453, translated the Bible into English. Now, that doesn't make the Bible a book of an adulterous Anglican church simply because he did that. Last night now, my opponent waited till my last negative speech to start reading from the encyclopedias and the tapes recorded. So that's what I'm going to do. The Encyclopedia Britannica, Volume 3, page 138, 1967. On baptism, there is no actual account of the institution of baptism, but the Gospel of Matthew portrays the risen Christ issuing the Great Commission and states that a valid baptism used water and the Trinitarian invocation, some believe it to have been in the name of the Lord Jesus. Encyclopedia Britannica, Volume 22, page 241-242. The word Trinity asserts that God is one in essence, but three in persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. World Book Encyclopedia, Volume 2, page 70, 1973, King John baptized Jesus Christ, who in turn instructed his disciple, Matthew 28:19.